your odds of getting a chance to play in third base. You know, I used to wonder, well, I'd love to try third base. I mean, I think I could be okay at it. But the folks that got a chance at third base were the folks that had that connection with that family that, you know, was able to work out that deal. Now, I might have been a better third base player. We'll never know. But I know all of you probably had that privilege in your life, right? Because you had that strong name. And you, or maybe you didn't and you wonder, well, why can't I do? Why can't I be in that spot? Or why can't I be given a chance right here? Anybody ever experienced that where you felt like maybe your name didn't quite carry enough weight in that environment? Yes. I mean, I've been there. But I've also been on the other side of things where, you know, maybe I got a little more privilege than I deserve. It's just a fact. So sometimes in some environments, you know, we're able to build up a little bit of a name or have an association. You know, you may have a strong name where you work, especially if you've been there a while. But I guarantee you come to my work, it won't mean anything. Right? So there's something to a name. Sometimes we want to blame our failures on the lack of privilege that's there or not there. And sometimes we want to blame our situation or blame things around us for why things aren't happening for us. And I would really caution us around that because, you know, I think it's smart for us to kind of have a vision of ourselves in our mind. Do you guys ever think about a healthier version of yourself, a smarter version of yourself, maybe one with less hang-ups like jealousy or backbiting, you know, maybe one that's a better version, maybe stronger, faster, leaner, prettier, meaner. No, that's probably not a good one. You ever picture a better vision of yourself? Well, I believe that there's probably always room for improvement for us. There's probably even always room for a more spiritual version of ourselves. But if we don't, if we let the things around us oppress us and give us excuses, if we develop what I like to call a victim mentality. Anybody ever heard of a victim mentality? Where everything's happening to me and I just can't quite get over that or can't quite get around that or I can't quite get through that because just look at all the stuff that's piled up against me. That makes me a victim, and that keeps me from owning the situation and getting into a better deal. Well, I think there's a better version of all of us out there that we ought to all be striving for. And I believe that better version of us has the characteristics of Christ. There's a meekness there. And so many people think, well, I'm not going to be meek because I'm not weak. Well, those are two totally separate things. I had a guy tell me the other day that he was at odds with somebody and he really needed to go talk to him, but he wasn't going to do that because that would be a sign of weakness. He's not going to be the first one to make a move because that would be a sign of weakness. I'm like, well, that's kind of a sign of strength. If you're going to be the big person and go break through that, that's a sign of strength. The world's crazy. We can get our guidelines from being Christ-like and being peacemakers, not war makers. So we've got a model to go after. But I wonder, you know, what's stopping us sometimes? I know personally I have issues. Do anybody in here have issues? I have a lot of issues. I have more issues at this age in my mid-40s than I did in my mid-20s. And certainly within my teens. Or is it that I can see more of my issues now than I saw back then? I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, I thought I understood that person. I thought I understood that situation. But I was totally wrong. And it seems like the more wisdom I get, the more humility I have to have because I realize that I can't read people the way I thought I could. I've probably been wrong for years and years about things and just thought I was, you know, just carried the arrogance that I was right and wouldn't be told any different. Well, now I'm starting to see that I'm just not as smart as I thought I was. Well, I guess that's part of it, right? So I got issues. I'm getting to the age. Well, I actually have been through this age for a little while, and it's not exactly a good thing, but I'm caring less and less about what people think. And my girls are telling me that I'm borderline, developing social issues. Because they're at the age where they're starting to realize what people think. And, you know, you're a teenager, you kind of are tuned into that. And they're like, why'd you say that to the waitress? Well, because that's what I meant. Well, you can't say stuff like that. Well, yeah, I can. So we were in a restaurant the other night. We took a trip to Texas last week, and we ate a lot of places, and it was cool. We had a good time. And this one restaurant we were in, it cost me $90 to feed us. And I know y'all eat out, and y'all eat out nice, and sometimes it's $90, sometimes it's $60, sometimes it's $30. You can't even eat four people with $30 at Chick-fil-A hardly, but this place was $90. And when I spend $90 on something, I want a good experience out of it. I'm just saying. So this was not a good experience for any of us at the table. So I get to decide, well, how am I going to handle this? Well, okay, you can't win them all, right? So I pay the money. Didn't say anything to anybody. I was nice to the waiter. I was nice to everyone. Everything's cool. But this was a situation where we had to park in a parking garage, and you validate your ticket with the hostess as you leave. And I wasn't going to say anything, but she said, good evening, how was your meal? What are you supposed to do? She asked. I just spent 90 hard-earned dollars on a meal. What are you going to do? So I said, it was really bad. We didn't enjoy it. It wasn't even so-so. It was bad. And the young lady goes, well, have a nice evening. What are you supposed to say? She asked. So, but she didn't offer any coupon or any refund. So I figured they're okay with letting me have a bad experience and taking my money. So if they're okay with that, I'm okay with letting them know that's what it was. So my girl said, why don't you say that? I was like, well, she asked. She asked, and you know, a business is, if they're going to ask, you ought to give them the feedback. They see a trend. They go, well, hey, everybody living here is unhappy. Maybe we should change something. So I was doing them a service, right? So that's the situation. But so I've got issues, and I like people when they will share with me what my issues are. And not everybody in my life will do that. A lot of people will just put up with it, or they'll blow it off and say, that's just Randy. But I've got some people in my life, and my wife's real good at it. She can describe very well what my issues are. And I'm glad I've got that service, because otherwise I just wouldn't know. I just wouldn't know. But there is a story. I think there's a story for all of us in here, and it's a story of privilege. I've actually been, even though I didn't have that name, and I probably wasn't the best person for third base, so I can probably get over that. But I didn't have that privilege. I'm learning that I've got some real serious privilege in my life. God chose the Jews as His chosen people. The Bible is very clear about that. I'm not a Jew. But the salvation that was chosen for the Jews is also available to me. So this king, this Messiah that made everything, that formed everything, decided somewhere back in time, before creation, that he would put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he would choose me, and he would have me choose him, and I would get this privilege. And I'm convinced, because the Bible tells me so, that I didn't deserve that privilege. So when I was talking to this landscaper the other day, he said, I'm really looking to do some stuff, and I want some Japanese maples. You know, the kind that we got out here in front of the church. I love them. I think they're pretty. I like the way they change colors. I like the way they kind of stay small, but they get really beefy. And I said, it's just a really pretty tree. He goes, you know about those, right? I said, well, I like them. He said, those are all grafted. He said, every one of them, they're not, the Japanese maple can't grow in this area. So they have to graft it into a root system that's hardy enough to grow in this area. So they're all grafted in the nursery, and they're set up to, so they can thrive here. That got me thinking about that whole grafting in Romans. So let's read a little bit about this grafting. And in Romans 11:5, even so then, at this present time also, there was a remnant. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. And by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If we're counting on our works, we don't need grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. May God never give us eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear. Because without the Spirit of God showing me, without the Spirit of God telling me, I'm a mess. An absolute mess. I reached out to a straight up enemy today and told him I was praying for him. An enemy from my past, but I'm trying to be a better person. He is too. And I reached out because he had a time and I said, I'm praying for you. I will not choose that on my own. It will not happen on my own. Only something like the Spirit of God can make a human being do something like that. And I don't say that for my glory. Please don't get confused. Because I know what I'm about. Verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. It says here that God did it to kind of wake them up, to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. If the root be holy, so are the branches. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. The Jews denying gave us a place to be grafted in. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. So this grafting is a horticultural term. And I Googled this. I really don't know anything about grafting, but I thought it was interesting what Wikipedia had to say about grafting. It talked in the verses about a root system, and it talked about a branch system. So when you take and graft something to a root system, you take a branch that's going to bear a certain fruit, and it said in here it could be a wild olive branch, and you can take this strong root system, and you can cut it a certain way, and you can put it together, and you wrap it up and bind it. And it said in Wikipedia that it's important that the vascular system of the roots line up and connect with the vascular system of the branch. And it's that vascular system that transfers that life-giving blood, that life-giving fluid from the root system to the branch and keeps it alive and causes the strength of the root to bear the fruit in the branch. And I'll say, without the blood of Jesus flowing through our veins, we don't stand a chance to live and to bear fruit from that root. And it also said that when you graft these two together, the new tissue that forms between them is where it's going to gain its strength. But the old tissue that doesn't bind is a weak point. So that old flesh that doesn't connect to the vascular system is a weak point to the branch. And if too much pressure is put on that weak point, that's where we can fail. We have to count on that binding. We have to count on that binding and that vascular system to keep life flowing to the branch. Y'all hearing me? That's the way our salvation works in this. And I thought it was really neat because as I was looking on the internet, there was a tree there that had been grafted in a branch, and part of the tree was yielding red flowers, and another part of the tree was yielding pink flowers. And I thought, well, wow, every branch can be different, and every branch is meant to bear certain fruit. And without the root, without Jesus Christ and being bound to that, we can't bear the fruit. But we all have a purpose to bear our fruit. So we're grafted into the system, we're grafted into Christ, and we can only bear the fruit that we were determined to bear. So if you think you don't have a specific purpose, you need to rethink that. Because you were grafted into this system for a reason. The reason to bear the fruit that you were meant to bear. So if you think you're not privileged, if you think you're not part of a bigger plan, if you think you don't have purpose in life, you need to rethink that. Because you were grafted in for a reason. And if you think you're weak, if you think you've got the world against you, if you think you can't quite get through, think about the fact that you've got that blood flowing from Jesus Christ for a specific purpose, that you are to be strong and yield the fruit that you're supposed to yield. And God would have you do that. It's not His purpose that you would be a weak, limp branch in this system. He would have you have strength, and He would have you bear the fruit that you were meant to bear. So this grafting really spoke to me. And you know, it talks about the fact that this root system is where the life comes from. And this root system is where the strength comes from. So you take a root system that you know can survive, and you graft in a branch that otherwise wouldn't survive. And that combination can produce life. And it can produce life for others. It can produce fruit for others. I'd say that's a big deal. And I'd say that's a privileged position to be in. And you may not win any prizes on your family name, and you may not win any prizes in certain environments where your name doesn't carry weight. But there's a prize for us that are grafted in to the root of Jesus Christ. And I feel privileged to hold that prize and to hold that promise. You know, so I wonder what would hold us back? What would hold us back from realizing that position that God would have us in? Well, a lot of times we're held back by fear. Well, fear of what? Fear I'm not good enough, fear of failure, fear of the responsibility, fear of getting out there. Fear of looking goofy in a situation. I remember, okay, so some of you know this about me, and you may say, well, nothing's changed, Randy, but there was a time where I was scared to death to stand up in front of people and talk. Scared to death. My hands shook, my heart would beat, I was closed up, but somewhere in the recesses of my spirit, I felt like that was something I was supposed to do. So what are you going to do? You going to hide? You going to crawl up under something and hide from that? Or are you going to get out there? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God would not have us to be scared. You know, in Philippians 4:13 it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So whatever that thing is that scares you, there may be some point in your life where you have to get out there and take it head on. I had a boss one time that was a really good mentor, and I said, "Hey boss, I really stink at public speaking, and I really want to be good at it. And it scares me to death, but I got to get over this. So every chance you get, please put me up in front of people so I can get through this." And he goes, "Well, that's funny you asked. We've got a ceremony next week, and you're the keynote speaker." I said, "Okay." And I thought that I didn't sleep for 4 days. It was horrible. And I was nervous. And it was a handheld mic, and I was this. And he didn't give up on me. And he said, "Do it again." And I got opportunities to do this. And at least now when I hold a mic, it's not this, you know. So sometimes we got to just do it. If God would have us bear a certain fruit, we got to get out there and figure out how to start to bear that fruit. And I think so many times I've looked back on the verse that God did not give us the spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, when I'm scared to death, that's the verse I quote to myself. And I do get scared to death quite often. I get nervous about things because sometimes I get twisted up. Sometimes I get I lose my confidence. And that verse basically says it very clearly. God didn't get, if that spirit's in you, that's not from God. Because God, if He would have us do something, He's going to equip us to do it. If God would have us in a situation that would honor Him, He's going to put us in a situation that we're equipped to do. So the last place I'll go tonight is John 15. John 15 says in verse 1, talks about, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit." So what does it mean to purge? It's kind of like a pruning, right? That you ever prune like roses? You prune them down, then they prosper. You prune them down, they prosper. My wife's grandfather, he passed, I guess last year, 91, and he used to prune his muscadines. And we had muscadines too, and I love muscadines. But his would always prosper, and ours would do pretty well. They do okay. But he was religious about, at a certain time of the year, when the moon was just right, and the situation was just right, he would prune them just right. And he had it down after 90 years of being on earth. And he had some beautiful muscadines. Sometimes we get a little extra growth on us. We get a little wild and we get a little top heavy. And when we're top heavy, we can't be a whole lot of use and we can't bear a whole lot of fruit. So sometimes God has to correct that situation by pruning us down a little bit, by taking our pride level down a little bit. And God would do that to have us be healthy so that we can bear more fruit, wouldn't He? And it's a privilege that God would take His energy and His time to put energy into us, to prune us down, to make us better. So there is a better version of us out there if we're tapped into the right root system and we're getting the right care. We can really prosper. And verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. You ever seen an apple tree and a limb break off and fall to the ground? Storm comes through and it breaks the limb off. Well, if it's laying there on the ground, it's not going to bear fruit. What's it going to do? The leaves are going to turn yellow. The stick is going to turn dark. It's eventually going to waste away, be brittle, and the wind will just take it on. We can't bear fruit when we're broken off from the tree. We can't bear fruit in a carnal state. God would have us be tapped into that vascular system so that we're getting that life blood. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I've learned through my life that no matter how much I think I'm doing, and no matter how much I think I'm achieving, if I get too high-minded, I can just get in a situation that I can't get myself out of. And who do you call when you get in that situation? You call for help, don't you? And it's not a tow truck. you call for God to get you out of that situation. He will let us run ourselves right into a situation that He has to get us out of. But why do we let ourselves get there? We don't have to go there. If we can just listen, if we can just abide, if we can just acknowledge Him so that He can direct our paths, then we can stay in a situation where we can bear fruit and we can be healthy and we can prosper on His behalf without getting ourselves in a mess and without getting ourselves in a pruning situation. So that's what I've got tonight. I just wanted to talk about a little bit of grafting. I wanted to talk about a root system. I wanted to talk about a privilege that I have and that you have, and how we're going to count on that connection with Christ to cause us to prosper in our lives.